In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Joyous feast. Just before communion each Sunday, we say a prayer together that begins, I believe, O Lord, and I confess that you are truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. And the source of this prayer is the letter proclaimed this morning from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. He wrote, as we heard just a minute ago, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, or the forerunner. And the heart of this simple prayer is the sentence, I am first among sinners. I think of all of the outrageous sentences in our Christian faith, this one is among the most outrageous. I am first among sinners. And it's an outrageous thing to say because most of the time we don't really mean it. Suppose my life was a TV show, Keeping Up with the Christians, right? Better than The Crown, you can watch The Cassock. Okay? In any case, suppose my life was a TV show, and at the end of an episode, the whole world gets the chance to vote. And the question is simple. This Christian says that he is first among sinners. When he says it, does he really mean it? I know how the vote will turn out. The vote will be a landslide. No interference necessary. No way, the world will say. He doesn't really mean it. He judges others more than he judges himself. Or they might say, if he really is the first among sinners, then he seems awfully happy to stay that way. He's not exactly trying to make changes. The problem with our prayer is that most of the time, we simply don't mean it. Maybe for a few moments on a Sunday morning, but during the rest of the week, I usually think of myself as a victim rather than a villain. But there's another way that the prayer can go really wrong. And this mistake is even worse. More damaging than hypocrisy is self-hatred. For many, it is very easy to say, I am first among sinners. And it is easy because too many of us have been fed a lie from the world that we are not worth very much. Women, the poor, the sick, the elderly, people who are different because of the color of their skin, or the country that they come from, or the people that they love, children who live in homes broken by rage or neglect or addiction. When the message that you hear from the wider world is the constant message that you don't amount to very much, then after a while you begin to believe it. And you begin to blame yourself for just about everything that goes wrong. It becomes easy to say, I am first among sinners. No one is worse than me. And so, too often, we only see these two possibilities. I am first among sinners. Either we say this and we fall into hypocrisy, because there are real monsters in the world, and to be honest, I am not one of them. So I might say it, but I don't really mean it. Or we say that I am first among sinners because we are in the grip of self-hatred or despair or hopelessness. To my eyes, my own mistakes are magnified a thousandfold. Every word I say or gesture I make becomes an on switch for rising darkness in my mind or my heart. But brothers and sisters, there is a third possibility. And the third possibility begins with the gospel. The third possibility begins in a new place. It begins not with me, nor with the question of whether I am good or bad. This third possibility, the one that leads to life, this third possibility begins with Christ. And it begins with the gospel proclamation that Christ is sent to us for one reason only. Christ comes to us in love. Yes, as Christians, we are called to repent. We are called to turn away from darkness and to turn toward the light. But in every case, this should always lead to life. If our efforts lead to death, if our efforts produce either hypocrisy or crushing despair, then we have been tricked by the evil one. There is an art to seeing your sins. There's a right way and a wrong way. The wrong way starts with us. The wrong way begins with me and my opinions about the value that I do or do not have. The right way does not start with me. The right way starts with Christ. If you want to see your sins, don't look first at yourself. Look first at Christ. Draw near to Christ. Allow the light of His love to color and to shine on the world around you. Draw near to Christ, and by His light, then look at your own heart. Learn that the Savior is meek and gentle, and that He comes to give you rest, no matter what good or what bad you may have done. Draw near to Christ and discover that He offers peace and freedom and joy. Read about His healing touch, a touch that brings sight to the blind, a touch that relieves pain and banishes demons and raises the dead. His hand that blesses children. His hand that refuses to pick up stones. His hand that multiplies the loaves and fishes so that thousands may be filled. Hear His voice and discover that His words are spoken for your ears. He promises rest. He promises the kingdom. He promises to be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Abide with Christ. Walk with Him. Walk with Him to Jerusalem and to the upper room. Walk with Him to the garden of His betrayal. Witness the court of His public humiliation. Stand at His feet with Mary and with John. When Christ, as God, accepts death, so that death might be defeated. First see Christ's love, then see yourself. Be loved by Christ, and then be moved. Be moved to love in Christ in return, to love Christ in return. But even more so, be moved to love others as He loves. The only sin worth seeing when you look at yourself, the only sin worth seeing, the only one worth paying attention to is the sin of failing to love. It's the only sin worth paying attention to. Failing to love. But to see that, first, you have to experience that love. You have to receive what Christ offers. And if you never open the Bible, if you sometimes talk to God but rarely listen to Him, if you spend more time in restaurants than you spend in worship, if church is a pit stop for candles on the way to Gillette, how will you ever know? How will you ever know how much you are loved? How will you ever know how much love you are capable of giving to other people around you? Think of your mom or your dad. Or think of your husband or your wife. Or think of your children. For some of you, it may be your best friend or your closest cousin. When their love touches you, this love moves you to respond in the very same way. Love always leads to more love. Love reminds us to pay attention to what is important. Love inspires us to lay aside our selfishness and to lay aside also our control issues. Love helps me to forgive. Love doesn't tell me that I am small. Love tells me that I have the capacity to fill this whole world with my love as well. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. It is possible to say this. And it is possible to say this with joy and peace if we begin not with who we are, but with who Christ is. Speaking of outrageous sentences, St. Isaac the Syrian, long ago, writes that he who sees his own sins is greater than he who raises the dead. This sounds crazy, but now we can see that this really is true. The one who sees his sins is greater than the one who raises the dead. Because the one who sees his sins has first seen Christ. To see how small my love is, I must be overwhelmed by the bigness of Christ's love for me. To repent, I must first discover that I have missed out on something really, really wonderful. In a few weeks, believe it or not, it will be Great Lent. And there's no better season for learning more about the bigness of Christ's love for you and for me. Great Lent is a school, and the church invites us to enroll every year. Make your plans now, during Lent, to draw near to Christ, to learn more deeply how much God loves you. Make your plans to be here in church, where Christ's love is revealed with so much power and so much beauty. We sing during Lent, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." It is the opportunity of a lifetime. Be here during Lent, and God will change your life. Joyous feast. Joyous feast.